ラジオゼミナール、お相手の佐山雄介です。さて、県内の公立大学3大学の連携事業としまして、高崎経済大学、群馬県立女子大学、前橋工科大学の各学校の先生方にご登場いただいています。今週は群馬県立女子大学の深谷照彦先生と一緒にお送りします。さて、今日のラジオゼミナールは、私スタジオを飛び出しまして群馬県立女子大学にお邪魔しています。今週来週と群馬県立女子大学の深谷照彦先生と一緒にお送りしてまいります。深谷先生、よろしくお願いいたします。
よろしくお願いします。
それではまず自己紹介をお願いしてもよろしいでしょうか。
はい、私群馬県立女子大学国際コミュニケーション学部で英語と言語学を担当しております深谷と申します。
はい、
今週と来週の2回お時間をいただきまして、学部の同僚2人とともに英語学習についてのお話をさせていただこうかと思っています。
はい、
第1回目の今日は、同じく英語と言語学を担当しているアメリカ人のラルフ・ローズさんとマーク・フライヤー・ミュースさんに日本で英語を教えていて感じたこと、考えたことなどをお話ししていただくことにします。
はい、わかりました。
ではまずローズさんにお話を聞いてみることにします。
はい、
Let me start with you, Ralph. I understand that you have a long experience of teaching English. How long have you been a language teacher?
Well, I've been teaching English now for about 16 years or so. I spent the first 11 years teaching English in Hiroshima City, then went back and taught in the U.S. For a few years, teaching graduate students there. And now most recently, I've been here in the Gunma area teaching for about a year and a half.
So that's a long time. Have your views on language teaching changed over the years?
Oh, quite definitely, yeah. In particular, one way that I think my views have changed is in terms of the actual language that I try to teach to my students. So when I go back to my childhood my education in the United States, I remember my English teachers teaching me particular rules about how English should be taught, about how English should be spoken. And so when I became a language teacher here, I often relied on those particular rules as I was teaching my students. So one example would be something like the sentence, whom did you see? And according to many rules of English, we should say, whom did you see? Not, who did you see? Or another good example might be in relative clauses, where many rules would say, we should say, John is the man whom I saw at the park. Rather than, John is the man who I saw at the park.
Oh, interesting. Which is more common in spoken English, who or whom?
Well, that's the really, really interesting thing, because when you actually look at how native speakers of English speak in everyday situations, you only rarely hear them say, whom did you see? Instead, they'll more often say things like, who did you see? And John is the man who I saw at the park. But I think Japanese has the same kind of contrast too, doesn't it?
Well, I would say the use of zenzen in affirmative sentences is one of them. It is supposed to be used in negative sentences like zenzen wakarimasen. But more and more people, especially the younger generation, are actually using it in affirmative sentences like zenzen daijoubu or zenzen okay. Kind of things.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and some people would insist that it's an error in grammar, but in actuality, you hear lots of similar examples.
Right, right, and so yeah, it's the same kind of thing that in English. There, you know, many people insist that it's a certain grammar error, but you're right. In fact, it turns out to be very common in daily speech. Another really good example is a rule concerning prepositions. So many people have said there's a rule that says that we should not end a sentence with a preposition. Instead of saying, who did you talk to, we should say, to whom did you talk?
Isn't there a famous anecdote involving Winston Churchill about that?
Actually, yes, there is. So a famous quote that's often been attributed to Winston Churchill is that he was sort of so frustrated with this rule about prepositions at the end of sentences that he finally said, That is the kind of nonsense up with which I will not put. Which follows the preposition rule very nicely, but sounds horrible. Don't you think so, Mark?
Quite bad, actually.
one more final example that sort of really makes it clear is a sentence, John is difficult to talk to, which is a perfectly natural sentence that you might hear in an everyday situation. But if we fix it according to the preposition rule, we have to say, to John is difficult to talk. Mark, what do you think of that?
Horrible.
Yeah, I totally agree. I can't even imagine hearing a native speaker of English saying a sentence like, to John is difficult to talk. It just sounds horrible. So just to sum up, I think that's where a lot of my views in language teaching have changed the most. And that is that I try to present language now to my students as it is spoken by native speakers in everyday situations, rather than rely on some particular rules, on some prejudiced rules that I may have about how language ought to be spoken.
Thank you, Ralph. 以前は正しい英語は書くあるべしという姿勢で教えていたそうですが、はい、今は実際に使われている英語をあるがままに教えるように心がけているというお話でした。
はい、いろいろ私も聞いている中で、ね、興味深いお話がありましたけど、フーとフームの話、フームはなんか最近そういえば使わないなというような感じがしますし、でそれから、ね、深谷先生がおっしゃいましたけれども、全然っていう、まあ、英語で言うとまたどうなんでしょうか。でも全然っていうのは全然なんとかじゃないとか、はい、否定的に使うことが、まあ、日本語としては正しい日本語と言えるのかもしれないですけれども、最近は肯定的に使うことも非常に多くなってきた。
そうですね、特に若い人も
そうですね、はい、そうですよね。さて、それではまた次のお話に、はい、
はい、では次にブライアン・ミューさんにお話を聞くことにします、
ね、はい、お願いします。
Now MarkI understand you had taught English before you came to Gunma Prefectural Women's University. How long have you been teaching English?
About 11 years, both here in Japan and in the U.S.
Wow. So that means you have taught students from other countries as well, right?
Yes, in fact, one class I remember in particular, which is interesting for our discussion here, is... I taught a class that had half Brazilians and half Japanese, and they're quite different in the classroom. Hmm. Brazilians are very active and genki, and they're always ready to answer a question immediately, almost jumping out of their seats to answer questions. And Japanese students usually take in information, sit, ponder, think about, wonder, and when they think they have the answer perfect, then they're ready.
Hmm. What are some of the difficulties Japanese students have to overcome?
Well, I think one of the problems that I still see in Japan is there's still a great reliance on book work for learning English. In other words, a lot of the assignments are still, here's a bunch of English sentences, now translate these all into Japanese. And here's a bunch of Japanese sentences, translate these all into English now. But what happens is there's no interaction with native speakers speaking English, and actually there's no actually English interaction at all. So my view is that Japanese learners in high school and junior high school use Japanese thought processes to speak or do English, or do English probably is better. But then they have no real interaction in spoken English. And it does have value, these kind of exercises. I mean, it builds the lexicon. I mean, they have more words, they understand more words. But in a way, they have trouble visualizing English. They have no acoustic image of spoken English.
What do you mean by acoustic image?
Well, for example, if I say the sentence, "Whoa, his car is pink," that's a statement. And a native speaker will always know from the intonation pattern that that's a statement. But if I say, "Whoa, His car is pink? That's obviously a question. And sometimes when students come to my office and they practice reading in my office, it's clear that they're thinking in Japanese while they are reading English. So when students arrive here at Gunma Prefectural Women's University and in my classes, they tend not to be able to understand me well at the beginning of the class because they're not used to hearing a native speaker.
I see. In your experience, how long does it usually take students to get used to spoken English in the classroom?
Well, I think in 2 or 3 weeks they start to begin to comprehend my English better, and then maybe 4 or 5 weeks later, I mean, they start to feel more comfortable hearing English spoken by a native speaker. But there are things that they can do to address this problem at an earlier age.
Do you have any advice for Japanese students then?
Yeah, of course. I mean, overseas experience is wonderful. And that doesn't mean... What I mean by overseas experience is not, let's go to Saipan, you know, where everybody speaks Japanese because we can see maybe an English word written or something. But in places like Saipan, you're probably not going to be able to use English in any way, and you're probably not going to get any input in English because, you know, half of the TV stations are in Japanese too. So of course, going overseas to a place where there's a chance to actually use English and hear English and have to deal with English is great. But not everyone can do that, right? So there's many, many materials available that technology has provided for us. And I think, Taro, you're going to talk more about that, I think.
Oh, yes. Next time. Okay, thank you, Mark.
Oh, thank you.
日本人の学生は自然な英語のインプット量が足りないために話される英語を理解したり自然な発音を身につけたりすることが難しくなっているのではないかという話でした。
そうですね。いやでもその中にはこういろいろと問題点もあって、またこの先深谷先生と一緒に今お送りしていこうと思っているわけなんですけれども、それをここじゃどうやったら手に入れられるかというところも問題になってくると思うんですが、
はい、はい、そうですね、今回2人のお話を受けまして、次回はまあどのようにしたらその英語のインプット量を増やすことができるか、特にまあインターネットを使ってどのようなことができるかについて私がお話をさせていただきたいと思っております。
わかりました。さて今日の群馬県立女子大学のラジオセミナールですけれども、深谷照彦先生を中心にお二方、ローズ・ラルフ先生、そしてマーク・フライヤー・ミュース先生と3人と一緒にお送りしてまいりました。今日どうもありがとうございました。 Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
ラジオゼミナールいかがでしたでしょうか。今週は群馬県立女子大学の深谷照彦先生と一緒にお送りしました。来週のこの時間もどうぞお楽しみに。お相手の佐山雄介でした。